So thank you, as Josh was announcing about our youth group, thank you for being a church family that supports our kids. I think it's huge. It's a blessing to be part of a church family that does that. So it's always kind of an encouragement. So I hope you'll stay, even if you didn't plan on it, stay. I mean, if you don't have the money, stay. There's lots of spaghetti, donation only, support the kids, a chance to kind of connect and get to know each other. That's the failure of this system, right? This is not the answer to come together for an hour and a half on Sunday and know one another. You can't. Impossible in that short amount of time. So it's these opportunities to get together, to know one another. That's going to be really key. So thank you for that. In terms of that, too, to let you know, a lot of our ministries in the church have been open, but one that wasn't operational till last week was the actual nursery, so for the babies. So those of you with babies, you've been bringing them in. I don't care if a baby cries, coos, googles, giggles, whatever. Like, all that stuff. Yeah, googles with your phone, yeah. Oogle, Google. That's awesome, but hey, if you want that, my wife's in there today, so there's a trusted person in there. I know, you know. I mean, hey, whenever we dropped our kids, they ended up okay, so she'll do just fine in there. But yeah, so that's open, so that's great. That was one of the last kind of standouts, but we've got the help to do that. They're looking for more help there, obviously, to minister to the kids. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Let me pray, and then we'll move forward and sort of worshiping God through the scripture. Jesus, thank you. I really want your name to be made huge, Lord. I want the people here to be helped with the words that you give me to say. And I pray that you would teach us, that you would lead us, that you would grow us to be more like you. I pray that we wouldn't just play like church, but that we would be people who worship you, who follow you, who walk with you. I pray. Bless this lunch today and those young men and women who are learning to be worshipers of the one true God. Help us to support them, pray for them, love them. We pray, Jesus, in your name and in your power. Amen. So guys, we're going through, if you haven't been with us, we're actually going through a study of 1 John. And kind of excited that we're taking detours. You know the roundabouts? We've gotten crazy with those, right? You go out Highway 89, like towards Chino, there's like one every 10 feet. I don't know. And you go around in circles. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you just want to keep driving around instead of just going. You know, like you see that on TV, like how many times will we go around before we pull off and continue on our way? That's kind of the picture of what God has given me through our 1 John. So we got a little stuck in the roundabout here for a good purpose. We've been talking about, what kind of things have we been talking about? Getting your life right. What's that? Holy Spirit coming out of the darkness. What about in the roundabout? What do we even keep talking about? Somebody say, like rebirth and regeneration. Hey, very good, Chris. Yes, that's right. He gets a Jesus sticker for that one, Brandon. We were talking about, we got kind of stuck there, and the Lord's been encouraging me not to be in such a hurry. Because what would happen if we finish 1 John? What would we do next?
Go to the next book.
Go to another book, right? So what's such a hurry to get to another book when we already got a perfectly good book in front of us to go through, right? Go through a good letter with lots of teaching. So join me on that roundabout. We're going around again, okay? And this is where we got into the roundabout here, and it's 1 John 2. So you can turn there in your Bibles or click there on your phones, and what verse 29 says, remember, this is a letter from John, one of the apostles, someone that walked in body, right? And then experienced and witnessed a lot of what Jesus did. He was one of what the people my age would call Jesus' homies, okay? Like, tight group, refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. He's writing this letter to believers here in the first century. And chapter 2, verse 29, it says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Okay, coming into that, here's what we're seeing. Okay, you've been reading too, so correct me if you think I'm wrong. But we're hearing John say this type of thing a lot, and he'll continue to say this. He keeps saying basically this. If we say this, but instead we do this, then we're either making ourselves a liar or God a liar. Right? And wow, I'm kind of stuck on that a little bit because I see that so much. What's the H word that we like to call Christians and church people? Starts with a hip. And not hippie, but maybe you could call them that. Hypocrite, right? I don't want to go to church. It's full of hypocrites. Yes, we are. And there's more seats for more hypocrites if you guys want to come in and join us. And so the reality of this, and it's not new, even in 90 AD this was happening. You say this, but instead you do this. You say you're following God, but you're in the darkness, and God's not in the darkness, so you're not following him. You say you're this, but you do this. It's maddening, right? And before you think I'm like preaching at you, this is me too. And as complicated, as intellectual, as theology rich as we want to get in our conversation, if we want to be people that change the world and have changed lives, then it has to do with us believing. And our believing is not the 21st, right, century, I believe theoretically, intellectually in my mind, but I have a faith. I believe so much I do it. It impacts the way that I live. And if we start doing that, your life would change and the people around you's life would change. So talking about this a little bit back around on the roundabout, here's what I've observed. And we can add to this. Well, first let me ask you this question. Am I off base or do you see yourself doing this? I say that I believe this, but then what I'm doing doesn't always go in line with that. Right? Anyone? Yeah. God is good, right? And then you would chant, yeah, like all the time, God is good, right? You would say that. However, what about your life would tell me, if I was watching you and knowing you, would tell me that you act in such a way that you believe is God, God is good, and he's coming through for you. God is good, he's in control, but really I'm in control. Those don't go together. God loves me, and he's taking care of me, but I hold out. I hold out to protect myself because God might hold out on me. Like, these things don't go together. So what I observe is this. This is some stuff we've been talking about over the past few weeks. The first of all is this world, right? The world, the system, the people, the relationships, what we're told is good and right, what we're told is life, it just doesn't work. It never delivers what it promises. This world doesn't deliver what it promises. All those youth out there, they're trying to find their way. What will they do? Who will they do this with? Those are the two big questions. Most of those answers are looking into the world systems for. Just like you did, just like I did, just like you still are. The truth is, all those things promised to you does what? It just doesn't deliver what it said. Another thing. I'm shocked and ashamed about how I react to those disappointments. The world doesn't deliver what it said, and so you're left feeling what? Disappointed. Frustrated. Confused. Other words, angry? What's that? Impatient? What else? Yeah? Or did you have some? Yeah, so you're frustrated, you're angry, you're impatient. And I'm shocked and ashamed about how I react to those disappointments. And honestly, I think when you're honest with it, you can feel it. You can feel the blows that come to your heart, to your soul. And in effect, what happens is your heart gets hardened, right? And that's what the Bible kind of talks about. A lot of these problems that we do, like for instance, no one goes into a fast food restaurant, orders the greasiest, biggest cheeseburger, and then orders a second one just for the fun of it, and eats it because they think it's making their health better. You don't walk away and run a marathon after that, right? Right? Like, that's not why you eat it. You know that there's pain. You know that you're trying to cover that. And you're disappointed in how you react and you disappoint. That's where most of our sin comes from. That's where the division happens between us. Because here's another observation. I expect too much from other people. And you see that all around. Like, I don't want to put it on you guys, but I expect too much from you. You expect too much from me. Every relationship you have, you expect that person somehow to make things better for you, when they're just as lost and frustrated at times as you. And so out of that comes this disappointment. And after some time, we harden our hearts in places, in relationships, in work. The job you started, man, at first you were way excited about it, right? You ever worked places like this? Like, everyone who's new is like pumped, like, yeah, right? They're excited. I work for a place. They give you slushies and stuff to get you all sugared up and excited. But then it turned out it was an awful place to work. So after 6 months, everyone was bitter but sugared up, right? But at first, everyone's super excited, so excited to be here, right? Disappointment. Then pretty soon is, you know, I hate this place. Hardened heart. Like, I don't got love for it anymore. Stop working so hard. You see that in relationships, right? Man, that child of mine, they've cut me out, so whatever. Done with them. My wife, she's cold. You shut off part of yourself. And then what ends up happening is this: thoughts and feelings. They make you go crazy back and forth like the waves or like the wind. You're just blown. You're excited one moment, unhappy another moment, and what we've used that to describe that as is like childlike behavior. Spiritually, we're acting like children because in one moment, this person in relationship, you're excited with them, and the next minute, you're very upset and bitter at them and a hardened heart. God is so excited when you're doing your praise music. I mean, you really look like you're into it, and then the next minute, you're like, where are you, God? It's confusing. It's difficult. You eat 3 cheeseburgers, you do drugs, you drink excessively, you get divorced, you have an affair, you're addicted to pornography, you take pills, right? You become a workaholic. Why? Not because you think those are the answers, but simply something has to take the edge off the pain and something has to distract from your hardened heart and give you hope. Guess what? That's not new. There's a book in the Bible. It's called Proverbs, right? There's wisdom, a lot of wise sayings. And one of the things it says there is Proverbs, recorded Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Yes. Amen. Not hallelujah, but amen. That's exactly how it feels. But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Is that true? Right? Oh, yeah. Okay, are you guys with me? Do you think I'm off base here, what I'm sharing with you based on our study? The takeaways from this. So what happens is we say this, but we do this. And why is that? It's the hardened heart. Well, Will, you're making me feel really good today. I know, but we're getting there. But the reality that we're unfinished, the reality that there's work to do is the beginning, right? It's the beginning to a breakthrough, because what I want to do, what I'm called to do as the pastor of this church, is speak truth to you and hope that the Holy Spirit takes that truth and births in you like a changed life. Like a changed life. A person who isn't what they used to be, even if they aren't perfect and aren't finished. And while I'm doing that, that's what I'm doing too. I'm becoming different, hopefully, right? Please, God, keep transforming me and make me not who I was. And less of these things where I say this and I do this. Oh, I love being a dad. Get out of my way, kids, right? No, like, oh, yeah, marriage is the best thing that ever. Oh, my wife, I can't, right? Like, oh, yeah, you know, work really hard. I'm done. It's 2 hours. I'm quitting time, right? Like, you don't say that this is, oh, God is so good. He's so good. Okay, what part of your life is he so good? You don't even know. Like the Christian life, we've made it fancy, like a Bible study. But all it is, Brenda, all it is that you should tell somebody like how awesome God is and what he's done in your life. And this is what I had to give up, but here's what I got. And this is what was broken, and this is what he's fixing. Like, that's it. It's not more fancy than that. It's not more intellectual than that. And then the people that know you are like, dang, I want a life that's changing. But if we never admit, first of all, that we don't believe these things, we say them, but we really don't believe them enough to do them, then we're never actually going to give God a shot. Most of us live an entire life where we really never give, including me, never give Jesus and the Holy Spirit a chance to do that which they said they would do. Because we keep taking back that control. So we say this, and we do this. Here's the good news. Last week, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, right? The point of it was a reminder that of all the religions of the world, out of all the gods of the world that people have tried to put up for worship, that we have a God who's alive. And it's lost on us how cool that is. It's lost on us how cool that is, because a God who's dead, then your circumstance is everything. Rain God. Oh, man, he must hate us, guys. It hasn't been raining around here. Right? Circumstance. Oh, sun God. Oh, man. Worshiping the sun God in Seattle. How's that going to go? Right? Like, oh, man, this God is awful. Fertility God, when you can't get pregnant, why 16-year-olds are in the back of cars. Is that God any good? No. Your hope is only in the circumstance. When you have a God who died for you, and then rose from the dead from you, it's like, yeah, it's not raining, or it's raining too much, or you're not getting pregnant, but 16-year-olds are, right? Or the God of marriage and your marriage fell apart. Like, none of your hope was in those things. It's in the living God who has gone before you, who gives you a future or hope. And not only that, he gives you the Holy Spirit to live in you. And what's really cool about that is instead of a church building, this is not the house of God. This is a warehouse building, blessing, where we get to come together and worship God. I've been here, guys, a lot. When you guys aren't, it's not holy. As a matter of fact, I think the air conditioning and heating units might be cursed, okay? If you know, pray for them if you believe that sort of thing. And this is not a holy building. Hundreds of tabernacles come in here every week, and it becomes holy because God lives in them, and then it's not when they leave. And so all the things that we do, eat spaghetti, laugh, dance, right? Those are acts of worship because we're doing it with the temple. So we have the Holy Spirit living in us. So this is the good news. Even though I am still saying this, but doing this, there's already something that's happened when you believe in Christ, and that is that the living Jesus has saved you and gone before you, and he's given you, the Father has sent the Holy Spirit to empower you to change. So let's kick it Old Testament style here, okay? Ezekiel was a prophet, right? Ezekiel 36, I shared this a few weeks ago, 25 through 27. Now, this prophecy was given to the Israelites, okay? Not people of Prescott Valley. This was read to them, but what was prophesied here, you'll see. Listen, verse 25, Ezekiel 36, 25. Let me read it to you. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And be careful to obey my rules. There's a lot there, right? I mean, first of all, he's saying, like, I'm going to cleanse you, right? That looked rehearsed. That was pretty sweet. So So a couple things. I'm going to cleanse you. So if where we're at right now, well, let me just say this first. It's given to the Israelites, but the promise here is to the people of God. Anyone who receives the Holy Spirit, this is what's happening to you. I will, first of all, cleanse you. So like we're reflecting here, oh man, all the blows I've taken to my soul, right? My heart, the inner part of a person, my feelings, my personality, my desires. Like I've taken tons of blows to it from this life because I've disappointed myself. Other people have disappointed me. And I've never really given full control to God. And so I'm still trying to drive the bus. But he's saying, listen, I, God, will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean from everything that you did wrong and everything wrong done to you. And all the idols, like, I'll cleanse you from that. I will tear them down. And I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I'll put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. Did you say, someone say amazing? Yeah. Amazing? Okay. You threw your voice. That is amazing, right? So it's so much there. Like, I'm going to cleanse you of all the unrighteous things you've done and all the bad stuff that happened to you. Huge, right? That's so huge, it's huge with a Y, okay? We're talking like Trump level huge. That's huge. And then your idols, I'm going to take them out of here, right? And I'm going to remove that heart of stone. Not just repair it, but remove it. And then beyond that, right, I'm going to give you a new spirit. What's interesting about it, guys, and this is kind of lost on me, and this is too heady for our conversation this morning, but he's like, says two things. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. Okay? And I'm going to give you my spirit. And so, man, understand that. At some level, we got to be conscious, right, and aware of like, oh, now there's my flesh. My body, like I ate that, it feels bad, right? You become aware of that. Then you become aware of your soul and your heart that kind of oversick. It's like your personality, your feelings, your desires. It can be easily swayed back and forth. Your soul could be sick, right? Your heart could be sick. It could jump for joy. And then you have your spirit. That very pneuma, that very breath of God breathed into you. So he's like, I'm going to give you a new heart. Personality, desires, feelings, emotions, thoughts. And I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to breathe new in you. And then I'm going to put my spirit in you. I mean, how crazy is that to look at any individual person? All that's going on right there in Natalia. A physicality, a heart, a soul, a spirit, the Holy Spirit. Wow. So get this. So God, the one who is the one who softens hearts at the center of the person, replacing the damaged one with a new one, being spiritually reborn. We're not talking actual heart transplant, okay? We're talking spiritually, right? Spiritually reborn. And then the Holy Spirit within you, and he's the one that causes you to walk in God's statutes and to carefully obey rules, practicing righteousness because you are reborn. See, here's something that God has been showing me. The Holy Spirit is just telling me all the time, like, Will, the order of things is huge. It's so important, the order of things. And oftentimes we read through this, you know, 1 John 2:29, where it's like, all those born of God practice righteousness. And so I put that on a platter for you, and I give you each your individual platter to go home with and say, practice righteousness. And then you get out to the car, and someone cuts you off, and then the righteousness goes out the window, right, in the platter. It's like the wrong order. It's the wrong order. So what basically God is telling Ezekiel there is like, I've got to make you new before you can even follow me. I got to make you new. Wow. And then this has been rich in our time, so I'm going to hit this one again. Titus 3:3-7. Okay, see if this describes what we were talking about, right? Like all the turmoil we're living in. Verse 3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish." Yep. Anyone else fools in here? Is it me? Yeah. Okay. Foolish, disobedient. Here's the thing about disobedience. I love it because there's like one thing that's cool that's been given to me and you in our time is we're aware that we got as religious as the Pharisees. Right? Some of us are aware of that we got so religious. But there's the pendulum effect where you go too far, you know. You used to swing this way and now you swing way too far this way. So somewhere along the way, you never got Jesus' favor because you did the right things. That's never how it was supposed to work. He knew you were going to do the wrong things. He knew you were going to fall short of what he had planned for you. But in spite of that, because of his rich mercy and goodness, he chose to forgive you while you were still messing up. And once he forgave you, he's going to make you new and you start to do the things he wants you to do because he forgave you, not so that he would forgive you. You would do these things because he loved you, not so that he would love you. You would do these things not so that you would be his, but because you are his. It's the order again. And so what's happened in that religiosity is we're like, now that Jesus came, the pendulum the other way, where it was like, okay, be perfect. If I asked you to be perfect, what are your two choices? What's that, lying? Beautiful. It's like we rehearsed that. Lying is the first thing. That's what we encountered. I say this, but I do this. Because if I tell you what I really do, you're going to judge me, condemn me. That was my only hope. So hide it as if God can't see what you're really doing. Or say, I'm out. Two things. I'm either lying and telling you I'm together. And there's different levels of lying. You might be lying to yourself where you really think that you're not doing that. Or you're probably just lying and doing it in the darkness. Or you're like, forget that, I'm out. I'm out. So going back to that, the new way, the pendulum swinging this way is like, now that Jesus came, I don't have to do anything. Oh yeah, how's that working? What's John been saying? You want to have fellowship with God? You don't do that in the darkness. And so here's what I've observed in my life and yours is we're in a cave of darkness saying, where are you, God? I can't hear from you. He's like, I'm right here. I'm just in the light. You got to step out if you want to hang. That's exactly what it is. Like, you don't hear me because you're doing your own thing. I didn't leave. And so that's the problem with the pendulum effect where it's like, no, obedience. Don't tell me about obedience. That sounds like old religious garbage. No, obedience still exists. Judgment still coming. But Jesus is stepping in the way for you if you're his. That's the beauty. So we once were foolish. Once we're disobedient, led astray. Oh yeah, right? Led astray. Slaves to various passions, right? All those things we're talking about. Man, they become our gods. We become slaves to those. Our feelings, our needs, our emotions, our sadness, our control, our addictions. Like, we become slaves to these various passions and pleasures. Passing our days in malice and envy. Hated by others and hating others. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By, this is how he did it. Okay, listen, this is, if you got your Bibles out, this is what you want to underline. How did Jesus save you from all that? By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Brandon, he is just like splashing water on me, cleaning that off, man. He's just working, renewing. Yeah, new heart, right? Like, and that sounds weird because in this, you want to think linear. When did I get the new heart? Did it happen in a moment? Yes. But is it happening over time? Yes. Why? Because he's washing and renewing you. He's giving you a new heart, a new way of being, but he has to walk you out on how to do it. It's as if you became a baby again. You don't just remember how to walk. You got to do it again because it's different now. Right? Like, this is that washing of renewal. I mean, you're regenerated, and then you're being renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed, and he's given you a new heart, and he's given you a new mind. Because you guys understand, you know the word repentance at church? Repentance is the big word that I think we think it means sorry, Oops, sorry. Repentance. No, it actually has to do with changing the direction. So if you go back to that metaphor of driving, let's assume we're driving this way. And what the scriptures tell us is that all of us are driving towards destruction until Jesus gets a hold of us. We're driving off a cliff. So we're driving, driving, driving. Somehow the Holy Spirit gets our attention. And repentance is simply changing our mind and changing the direction. But here's what we have to be careful. If we don't learn this right, here's what we think. Right? We're driving, driving, driving. And then we're like, whoa, I'm not going to go this way anymore. So we change our mind. We change direction. Now what? Well, I repented. I repented. Here's where you run into problems. There is an enemy. He wants to keep us confused, tormented. He wants us to go back to those things we used to be. And how does he do it? He lies. In Genesis, he started with this. They were in the garden. God said, don't eat of this tree, but eat all the rest of them. When Eve said that to the serpent, Satan, he said, did he really say that? That can't be true. He's holding out on you. So here's some lies. Here's how some lies look. So right, you're driving, driving, driving. This isn't working anymore. Life's not working. My heart's taking too many blows. Boom, I'm changed direction. Then guess what happens? Lies. The lies say, God didn't mean what he said. God didn't mean what he said. He's exaggerating to try to get you to be obedient, right? Or it's a translation. We got that now. Oh, that's not the right language. That's translation. Or the other thing is, oh, he won't do what he promised he was going to do. I mean, look at my life. He promised to fix these things. They're not fixed. And this is where you're at in the front seat when you just turned. And then this other lie, it's up to you because God's holding out on you. Or like, this is not an area of life that God does. Right? And the other lie is, it's not going to be okay. Freak out. Right? Like, it's not, if I don't do this right now, it's all going to fall apart. Like, if I don't get this job, if she doesn't like me right now, right? Like, freak out. These are the lies coming at you. And you know what happens? We turn the wheel right back and keep going towards destruction. What's missing here, guys, this is what the Lord is teaching me to share with you is, yes, man, we repent. We change the direction. And then the next step is obedience. Obedience, that's a bad word. No, that's the pendulum. Bring that baby back here to truth. The truth is you want out of that circumstance. There's a way out, but you don't see it. I mean, ask anyone who's come out of something really difficult, out of an addiction or a loss, right? The first step is what? Stop doing it. I mean, there's got to be a reason why. That's what the repentance comes. But once you've decided to stop, day two, what do you got to do? Not use the drug again. Day two, after you've made the decision of leaving an addiction, what do you do? Don't do the thing you're addicted to again. If you've destroyed the altar of something in your life, you don't build it back the second day. It's got to be obedience. It has to be obedience. See, so Titus 3 is, man, we were this and this, you know, fill in the blank for your life. We have been blank, blank, blank. We used to be blank, 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 but God's mercy is saving us through Jesus and by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. What does this look like in a practical way? I mean, it starts with the thoughts, right? Yeah. It's that accusation, that temptation. It starts that. And how come we as God's people, because I don't think we're honest enough, don't actually say, what we need to do is just say no. But Will, I read this book and there's a magical thing where you got to pray these words in order to get God to respond. It's like, I don't think it's like that. You know, it's just like, no. You know, like when the people and the scripture on Thursday, we were studying the life of Jesus through the Gospels. And when someone came to be healed, it was kind of like this, right? The man came up as like, if you would, I bet my daughter would be healed. That's how he said it. He didn't say, oh, in Jesus' name, by the power against all the demons and the blood of God. Like, it didn't have a big program. He's like, I believe that if you would, Jesus, this would happen. So in that temptation, just the simple, like, no. Day two, I'm not going to do that. No, that's not true that God doesn't care. No, that's not true that God doesn't. Like, wash me, Holy Spirit, wash me, cleanse that out, renew me. Don't let my heart go back to that because I've been given a new heart. And but now, because I am saved, now I act differently. Because I'm being renewed, now I act differently. It's like the wedding ring I have. This doesn't stop me. This ring doesn't make me married. It's simply a reminder that I am married. And if I don't act married with the girls around me, then I'm destroying and defiling my marriage, right? You've been given a new heart and a new life. And if we just say, no, I haven't, and go back to that, then we're blemishing the thing that's already been given to us. It's understanding that the work has been done by Christ, and ours is only to obey. Back to 1 John 2. What do we do now? Practice righteousness. Yeah. What is practice righteousness? What's that? Obey, okay. Follow Jesus. Yeah, let's get real practical for me. Like for a friend, okay? What would a friend do? What's that? Encourage. Yeah, but let me say this differently. You know how you don't want to say, well, I have this friend who, you don't want to say you, right? Like, yeah, talk about a practical thing. Like, what do you do to practice righteousness? Yeah? Stop lying. There's a great one. Be loyal. Yeah.
Trusting.
Loving. I mean, so you're surrounded with opportunities to love. And if you start reading the scripture, you're going to see where Jesus is like, they're like, well, how can we worship you? Well, love the people around. Well, I know, but other than that, I'd rather go on the mountain and just sing praises to you. Can I do that? No. How you're going to love me is you're going to do what I've commanded you. What I've commanded you is to love your neighbor. And everyone around you is going to want to be part of the way that you're part of because the way that you love each other. Love your neighbor. Love your kids. Love your wife. Love your sister. Sacrifice of yourself for them. Be righteousness. Do the right thing. If God doesn't want you to eat that or drink that, it sounds pretty... Don't. Not for religion, but because he's told you. Like, it's hard because I hate that sort of like, ooh, just do this and don't do that. Because what does it do? There's no relationship and there's rules and that creates rebellion. So we need a relationship and then rules. So you may be sure 1 John 2 says that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So the problem with the way that we wrote this, guys, is it stresses the practice righteousness. So I come to you with rules and I tell you, don't do this, don't do that. Oh, Pastor Will said I shouldn't eat a Whopper. That's not what I said, right? Like, it's not what in you that defiles you, Jesus said. It's what comes out of you, right? However, now if the doctor and your wife are like, dude, you're going to die if you don't eat a salad. Eat a salad sometimes, okay? For love's sake. But it's backwards. Allow me to take some liberty here and twist it around. Because you've been spiritually reborn, you should practice righteousness. What's that? You can and you should. And how can you, Steve? Trust in the Holy Spirit, right? That's the problem with religion. Tell me what's yes and what's no. I can't necessarily, some things yes, okay? Some things, yes, don't murder, don't steal, don't kill. But how do you sacrifice for this neighbor? How do you sacrifice for your child? How do you sacrifice for your parents? How do you sacrifice for your wife? How do you sacrifice for your husband? Like, I can't always tell you that because I'm not in your situation. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Right? He's like, oh, buy her a flower. Give them a hug. Breakfast in the morning, right? Do the dishes. Cause her a heart attack. Do the dishes. Call your kid today. Just say, I love you. Don't tell them anything that's going on in your life. Just tell them, how are you? I love you. Well, that's the one. See? Here's a dad who knows, right? And you could tell us all that, but that might not be the situation. See, practicing righteousness is so huge, but guys, we got to do it out of love. We got to do the rules out of the relationship. Why? To further the relationship. Because we become so desperate when the world is so disappointing, which it is. The world is so disappointing. I mean, dang, anyone made money and it didn't make them happy? Right? Anyone on a second marriage and that second marriage is still hard? Right? Anyone single and that's hard too? Right? I didn't mean to get you in trouble, guys and girls, but let's just be honest. Guys, all of us need to see that. Practice righteousness. Why? So that it will go well with you. That the Lord is going to be with you and you'll hear his voice. So we're going to jump back in, right? Okay, we're pulling out of that roundabout again. That was fun going around. We'll move forward next week, but I want simply this to be the thing that you chew on and get stuck in your teeth this week, okay? Try this. Grab onto that idea about practicing righteousness. But do it prayerfully. Get it in the right order. Like, if you're not even talking to God, start there. Okay? There's level one. There's level one homework. Man, I haven't been praying, and I haven't been reading anything that God wrote in the scriptures to share with me. Okay, do that first. Right? Because if I give you that platter, practice righteousness, you're barely going to get out down the street here, and you're just going to throw it out the window. So talk to God, okay, and listen. And a good listening way is to read what he wrote, right? Do that first. Okay, if you're doing that, well, awesome. Okay, grab onto this. Practice righteousness. Think about that. And when the unrighteous thing comes to mind, the unrighteous opportunity, no, Holy Spirit, come, help me. I want to practice righteousness. And then once it smooths out, then praise God. Throw on a worship song or tell somebody, right? Or go outside and look at a sunset or listen to a baby laugh or something, right? Whatever it is that's worship that you could do with the temple, take a run, you know, if you're that kind of sick person, right? Yeah, do that. Just kidding. Running used to be punishment for football, but now I actually think it's more fun. So when I was a kid, but start there. Get that fill of the Holy Spirit. Now, if this whole Holy Spirit and Jesus thing is brand new to you and you want to know more about it, or you're like, man, I've been wrestling with that, when Ross and these guys come on up and play, come up and talk to me. Or if not, also you've got Josh there in the back. Go talk with him. That we could pray with you. And other than that, guys, just go out there and understand that from God's love, there needs to be this obedience. And so when I pray, I don't want to trick you. I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit, one thing that the Holy Spirit does is he convicts the world of sin and righteousness. So if there's a place that needs obedience, then I'm going to ask that he works on that with you. Because when you let go of that and you begin to walk, right? Because otherwise you're just turning. Every Sunday you're like, yeah, I should really stop that. And then by the time next Sunday comes, this is what I get with most people, right? Including me. You're going, you hear a sermon, podcast, whatever, and it hits you at the heart, and you're like, oh, dang, and you turn. Repent. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. And then there's no obedience, no follow-up, and then by next Sunday, you're like back here again. And every week, we can do this for 50 years if you want. But what I'd love to see is like, that you would go, you would turn, and you'd walk in obedience, practicing righteousness, and then God would be, okay, let's turn again, and this would be the walk with Christ, that you would become more like him. So let's pray. Hey, if you need prayer, need to talk, we're here. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, there's a lot of information there. But Lord, I pray, I know that you love everyone here because you created all of them. The intimacy to knit somebody together, to know them. Your heart for them is so much better than anything I could wish for. And so, Father, well up your Spirit, surround them with your Spirit, and show us where you're working. Show us those areas that need obedience. And just cut to the heart of the men and women here. I pray that today would be a day that they make a decision to say, no, just no, I'm not going to do that. And then walk in obedience. But we can't do it without you. Holy Spirit, just carry them around that corner. Carry me around that corner. And then walk with me. Lord, it's our desire to be your people, to practice righteousness because we've been born new with you. So Lord, in this moment we just sit here and we worship that you've given us new hearts and a new spirit and a new mind that you put in us, that we would be your people, Lord, that we would walk with you, that we would practice righteousness with you. So we just praise you, Lord, in that. In Jesus' name, amen.